The following program is brought to you in living color.
You see this earth? It's been resting. Now it's good. Someday I'm going to buy this land and I'm going to make a great wine. But here on this wreck of a vineyard.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Amazing creature. She deceives everybody.
You swine!
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid or indifferent enough to ask. That's why we're here. We are your immediate resource for everything about the grape and all the havoc it can create. Yes, another grand version of The Wine Crush, and we've got what potentially could be a very fun show today. Today, I think we're taking a step back. We're looking at families. We're looking at dynasties, both in the wine business, around the wine business, and the repercussions it can have. I mean, obviously, all of us are somehow stamped in a way, shape, or form with how our families have made a living. In my family, I come from a group of preachers, teachers, and engineers. So it's always interesting because I am the black sheep of the family. I will tell you that there are no two ways about that. I am the oddball, of course, being in the demon alcohol business. But I figure I have managed to take the best of all worlds. I engineered my way into a radio show where I can teach a lot about wine, and occasionally I get to get up on my soapbox and preach. So the way I look at it is I've managed to wrap all of it up there together.
You covered all the bases.
I have. That's what I'm here for. Kent, was your family always in radio, or are you?
No,
the one?
I'm the only dropout in my family.
What kind of background?
All the rest of them went into banking and things that pay, you know?
But see, think about how much fun you have.
Oh, yeah.
Just think of the laughs and getting to meet people like me and having us enrich your life. What more could you ask for?
That's exactly right. My dreams have come true.
See, if you were actually stayed in a suit and tie and were very staid and very controlled, you'd never have the lunatics in your life you do now.
That's right. I find it unusual that you came from a ministerial family.
Yes, Southern Baptist preachers.
Really?
Yes. Actually, my great uncle is very well renowned. But majority of my family are teachers. And all you have to do is listen to one of them yell at you, and you know definitively they taught 7th, 8th, or 9th grade and are not beyond throwing a chalkboard eraser at you.
I can see the teaching influence in your life, though.
Yes, they are much kinder, but they definitely have that disciplinary side I don't.
Yeah.
And the quiet analytical side that you occasionally get from me comes from the engineering background.
Mm-hmm.
The engineers in my family designed boats, submarines, and airplanes.
Wow.
So... yeah, interesting mix. Family reunions are a lot of fun.
And what you do is you tell them what wine to take aboard the submarine.
Oh, absolutely not. There is nobody in my family on any side anywhere will drink wine.
Really?
They hate it.
Nobody.
They think it's wretched. That's not true. I do have an uncle that will occasionally make wine out of blueberries or strawberries or watermelon. But past that, no. They will not drink it, will not touch it. That's why anytime I get really, really good wine that I decide that I'm going to try and cellar and keep and not drink immediately out of my dairy crate, I send it home to Atlanta. Because unless mom's having a party, which she has been known to have a party, hey, honey, we went down in the wine cellar. There was this little bottle. It had this great picture of a wolf on the front of it. I hope you don't mind. We drank it. You can get another one, right? So now that I put the wine cellar off limits to mom's guest, I know it's perfectly safe.
Yeah.
Yes, no. The fruit fell very, very far from the vine in this family.
Well, you know the thing with Southern Baptists and taking them fishing in the boat with you. If you go fishing with a Southern Baptist, you take two, because if you just take one, he'll drink all of your wine. If you take two, he won't touch it.
Yes, because the other one will tell on him.
That's right.
Yeah, trust me, I learned that. There are some interesting stories, but not for our listeners. That's not what they're getting off on. But that is what we're going to talk about today. We have two great guests. We have Josh Phelps and Carlo Trinchero. Now, we have had the father of both of these gentlemen on the show, and definitely people from the big wineries of Joseph Phelps and from Trinchero. But they're going to join us today, and they're going to talk about their new endeavor, their Taken Cabernet Sauvignon, and what they're getting together and make. But also, hopefully, we can get the boys to open up and talk about growing up in the wine business and family and see what kind of relationship they have. Basically, we're going to try and ambush them, have a little fun, and hopefully we'll laugh a lot along the way. But because we're kind of looking at families today, I wanted my wine recommendations to be based off family wineries. Now, everyone can just settle down and calm down. I am going to recommend two red wines today. Yes, I was feeling a little frisky and decided to branch off from my Chardonnay and my Sauvignon Blanc and my white wines and drink two reds, and these two were great. The first one I'm going to recommend is Benzinger Pinot Noir. This, of course, is out of Russian River Valley. The winery is in Sonoma. The Benzingers have seven different family members operating with the winery. They're in the winemaking process. They're in admin. They're in sales. They're in PR. Benzingers are everywhere. And if you ever have a chance to meet a Benzinger, say one of them's coming to your town to do a dinner or do a wine tasting event, you have to go. The wines, of course, are incredible, but the people are just so dynamic, so down to earth. Just whatever you do, don't get them near a bar and don't drink tequila with them. It'll be the worst thing you've ever done for yourself in your life. However, they do know how to make Pinot Noir. Their 2008 came out, Russian River. It's got great cherry, great plum flavors. It has that sweet earthiness, kind of like that first crunch of leaves in the fall, that nice little dirt, that toniness. Absolutely fantastic. What's great, it has the nice acidity to it, but it does have enough alcohol that it balances all the way around. So 2008 Benzinger Pinot Noir, great wine from a great family involved winery, literally top to bottom. These people have it all together and they have a great time. The other winery I'm going to recommend, and I'm doing this because it's the start of something. Bob Betts was the winemaker and wine director for Chateau St. Michel Estates for ages. And, of course, he did some of the great wines like Columbia Crest, the Chateau St. Michel, Indian Wells, all these stuff that we see that everybody gives 90, 95 points. Well, of course, he has his own winery, and it's something that he's starting as a legacy and a dynasty for his children. He has a Syrah called La Serene. La Serene, and I think maybe that's what I was looking for when I opened this up. But the 2008 La Serene, it is amazing. It is Syrah. It's really deep black color. This is one of those wines, if you're wearing white, if you're wearing beige, if you've got a white tablecloth, if you've got something that you don't want scarred indelibly, do not drink it while carrying this wine. It is deep. It is dark. It is really, really inky, but it's got that great blackberry. It's got great black cherry flavors, not necessarily the kind you get off cough drops, but that really dark, rich flavor. A lot of anise, a lot of licorice. This wine is just outstanding. And what I think is great, it has tannin structure to it. It's really dense. It's really, really thick. But it also has that silky sexiness that Syrah is supposed to. So Bob Betts, the Betts Cellars, La Serene, Syrah, and Benzinger Pinot Noir. There, Kent, that has to be a record. I don't think I've ever done two red wines in one show.
I've never heard that.
Do you even listen to them, though? Didn't you ask me once if I had recommended a Chardonnay, and like 5 minutes later you asked me what I recommended?
Yes.
Okay. So we're paying attention today?
I'm making phone calls already here.
Oh, Lord. You're still trying to find a job or trying to verify my background? Can't believe I'm related to a preacher.
Still working on the background.
All right. You and a lot of other people. So this is what we're going to talk about today. The families, the dynasties, and how it's created. Obviously, if we look across the pond, if we look at the French, by the time you got done with the Napoleonic Code, families didn't have a choice, but they were involved in the wine business. One owned the chateau. Every other one owned a different row of grapes. You had to get along or sell out. Now, here in the States, it's great. When you think about our modern winemaking and our modern wine culture, pretty much didn't start till the late 60s. Yes, we are having some second-generation winemakers come through, but now we're looking at third generation. We are looking at the grandchildren of the people who came in and founded it. You know, whether it's one of the Mondavi children taking the helm, Ed Sobraggia letting Adam Sobraggia take over. And what is this going to mean to us as a wine-cultured society? Because the people, the original founders, those that came over to make the wine country, they're the ones that came in, they pioneered, they tried local grapes. It was the next generation that took the time to see, okay, what grows well where, and how am I going to make my mark? It's the third generation that's going to have the benefit of truly having a worldwide wine knowledge on a global scale, plus they're standing on the shoulders of their forefathers, literally, because they know the lands, they know the grapes, they've grown up playing with them. I mean, it is in their blood. So does this mean that when everyone gets into their groove and they get in, come to age, that we're going to be drinking better in California than we ever were? I don't know. It's going to be fun to find out. Of course, I always welcome your calls, your emails, your questions, and reach out to me at 877-4CRUSH-1 or email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Well, we're going to take a small break, but when we get back, assuming no technical glitches, we are going to be joined by Mr. Josh Phelps and Carlo Trinchero together on the air.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush. Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, gold garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, gold garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. For those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that Kent sometimes has his head in the show, sometimes has his head out of the show. But at least right now, we have it halfway in, and we are fortunate enough to be joined by Josh Phelps. Josh, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thanks for having me.
It is a delight. It is fun. Today on The Crush, we're talking about family dynasties and the fact that, obviously, with a name like Phelps, you have a great history in the wine business. But it's fun because for everyone who is growing up with wine, if you think about it right now, our largest category of wine drinkers is turning in, you know, from the Generation Xers to the Millennials. And they are hitting that point where they're understanding both the history of the wine and what can come out of it, well, in an engineering sense, that what have we learned, what have we gained, and what have we done that we screwed up. So you are in the apex cat seat position to be able to answer some of these questions and to look at it objectively. So we're going to put you on the spot. Obviously, you grew up in the wine business. Yes? No? Give us an idea of your history, Josh.
Yeah, I grew up in St. Helena, and my dad makes wine professionally. He's made wine for a number of wineries throughout the years, Dominus, Camus. He currently makes Swanson. He has his little own brand called Ad Vivum. So I grew up, learning about wine from a young age. And then my business partner, who's not here today, is part of the Trinchero family. So they became famous for Sutter Home White Zinfandel years back. And so he actually recently joined his family's winery and is working for them, aside obviously making taking Napa Valley with myself.
Well, it makes sense. But, okay, when it's interesting. I'm fortunate I have a lot of friends in the business. And when you say you grew up around winemaking, were you one of those kids that literally followed your dad around? Dad, what are you doing? Dad, can I play with that? Dad, can I touch that? What do I do with this? What do I do with that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I definitely got more than the average exposure. I didn't really work in the winery until, you know, after high school, until summers during college, and I do bottling, and I did a couple harvests. I got to follow around from a young age, so it's kind of cool.
It's interesting to say that so casually, because I have gone out and begged and pleaded to work harvest with people such as your dad. Please let me go. You don't have to pay me. I don't have to be put up with room and board. Just tolerate me and my questions, and hell, I'll pay you before we get said and done. And I do believe, even when you're talking about working in the summers, whether it was bottling or whether it was being with your dad, you probably knew more about wine at the age of 18 than a lot of the winemakers that are starting in their own wineries at 33. Do you think?
Yeah, I'd say there's a good possibility. I mean, you kind of take it for granted, but I think, you know, growing up there, you know more than you think you know.
Did you appreciate it when you were growing up?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't think I saw myself going into the wine business necessarily until my senior year of college, when I started working for a wine broker. And then I just kind of followed the path, and I currently work for a wine broker called Shivrick Jones here in Sacramento. And then on the side, my business partner and I make our own Cabernet.
Now, see, that's what we're trying to get to. Number one, when we're all 16, 17, I'm never going to do what Mom and Dad do. I don't want to do that. I want to do something and branch out on my own. Did you go to college for wine? Did you study oenology?
I went to college for business.
All right.
With an emphasis in entrepreneurship. I always knew I wanted to, you know, own my own company, but I guess I was undecided on what that company would be. I kind of had different thoughts, and then, you know, moved back to St. Helena after college and then inevitably wind up in the wine business.
Well, tell us a story. Let's start here now that we've got your past behind you. Tell us about Taken. Tell us about the project you're working on.
Well, it's an interesting project. Carlo and I grew up together. We went to kindergarten together at a private school in St. Helena. And we've known each other since we were little kids. And he went off to play college football at Sacramento State, and I was up at Chico State going to school. But we obviously kept in touch over breaks, and we'd see each other during the summer. And we had kind of thrown around the idea of doing a project together when we graduated. And then I graduated first, and I went off commercial fishing actually for the summer and came back, and I worked harvest for Joel Gott. and I was, you know, about to get a job with a brokerage, and we came across some wine. And so this first year, we didn't actually make the wine. We came across some small lots from boutique wineries. So kind of like Negociant, but a little more so that we actually seek out these small lots from through our connections in the valley.
When you said, okay, I've got to interrupt real quick. You say you came across. Were y'all actively looking, or it was one of those things because of the people you knew in the valley? Yeah. They said, hey, I have these barrels, or how'd that work out?
Exactly. It was just like, hey, I've got this wine, and we're going to sell it. And we tasted it, and we're like, you know, this is really good wine. And it was a perfect amount. It was 100 cases. And obviously we want to do more production than that, you know, this next year and years to come. But for our first year, right out of school, just to kind of play around and get a feel for the game, it was perfect. And it was great wine. And through our connections and our families, it was feasible, and we were able to, you know, start up without a huge amount of capital.
Right.
And so we started out, and before we even bottled the wine, I brought a sample to Karen Williams, who owns Acme Fine Wines in St. Helena, which is an awesome little wine shop.
It is an amazing shop. They've been on the show before, and I love Karen.
Yeah, she's great. And she's actually, long story, but I actually became friends with her when I was working at Trevina, back when I was 15. She was the wine buyer at Trevina. But I brought a sample to her, and I said, hey, you know, if we bottle this and price it right, is this something you could sell? And she said, absolutely. And so we went exclusive with her. So Acme was the only place you could buy our wine this year, aside from a couple restaurants. So that was kind of it was nice to know it was sold ahead of time. And
this is always a nice luxury to fall back on, know that somebody's going to take it off your hands.
Exactly. And so then it kind of came to the naming process. And ironically, all the names we wanted to use were taken. So we ended up using the word taken, and I mean it's kind of beyond that. We both like the word taken. I don't know, there's something kind of like, there's a mystery about it. There's some you look at the bottle and you want to know why is it taken.
Where's the wine? I got taken. Hey Josh,
exactly.
real quick, we're gonna have to take a small break, but when we get back, I want to talk to you more about taken and more about what your other name choices were. I'm dying to hear those, so hold on with
Absolutely.
Me for 1 second.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Getting loose. She leans back against the wall and she watches, tugging her collar like it might be a noose.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and right now we're online with Josh Phelps. Josh, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Well, of course, our hats go off to Carlo. Carlo Trinchero was supposed to be with us today, but we had a small glitch on East Coast versus West Coast time. You know, anytime we have to sit and do math that involves us bringing our fingers out, someone tends to lose, and this one was us. So I do want to pick back up where we left off talking about Taken, and I'm going to see if I can't get you to tell me a story about Carlo, because we'll make him come on the show at a later date, and you two can just have some fun together.
There you go.
All right, so when we left, we said the name Taken came about because everything you wanted was literally taken, correct?
Yeah.
Well, what other names had y'all come up with?
We threw around some kind of different concepts. Valor, V-A-L-O-R, that was a name. True Grit was a name. We probably ran through about 50 names, and I think Taken's better than all the names we ran through.
I think Taken is an exceptional name. I have done this for entirely too many years, and I love the concept because people can have a lot of fun with it. Where's your wine?
Yeah,
it got
exactly.
Taken. It's something that the more you drink of it, the more you can play off it.
Exactly.
So anytime we find something unique like that, we like it. But honestly, it's so refreshing to hear you talk. You know, sometimes we will get some of your father's generation's winemakers on the show, and they'll talk about how they've done this and they've done this, and they talk about dirt and they talk about college. It is neat to hear a refreshing voice for you to say, hey, good friend from high school and good friend from kindergarten, we got together and thought we might want to do a project. Well, then we kind of came over wine. It's amazing to hear how things have fallen into place for you. And I think there's a lot of people out there that might say, oh, they were just lucky. I don't think luck has anything to do with it. I think y'all have been at the right place and grown up in this business at the right time. What do you think?
No, I agree. I mean, it's like fate. I mean, I don't think there was any way around it. I mean, Carlo was obviously, he's on the path into the wine business from day one. And I think I didn't realize it, but I think I was as well. And it's a cool industry, you know, and it's, you know, times are kind of tough right now, but our price point, I mean, we just sold out of our 2007. And our price point, $30 a bottle, hits the spot, and it's working out great for us.
Do you know how many wineries would kill to be in the position that you're in right now to casually say, yeah, we just sold out of our 2007? I talk to them literally daily. There's some that are still trying to sell their 2006s.
Oh, yeah. No, there's people out there with their 2005s. I mean, and we, like I said, we were only 100 cases the first year, but next year we'll be about a little over 300, and then hopefully jump up to maybe 1,000 the third year.
Now, is Taken always going to be a Cabernet? Is this all we're ever going to see from the Phelps and Trinquier?
No. There's always going to be the Taken Cabernet. But maybe next vintage, we'd like to do a red wine, something a little more feasible for restaurant by the glass programs, maybe a Merlot blend. And we do have a white wine hopefully coming out this spring.
Oh, what kind of white wine are we doing?
It's going to be a Sauvignon Blanc blend. I can't give away too many details on that yet.
Quite all right.
It's got a fun name that plays off of Taken. So
I was going to say, you can have fun now. You could have the missing Merlot, you know, the gone Gewurztraminer. You could just have a whole little series of things that are missing in random.
Yeah, we've got a fun name and package coming out for the white wine, so definitely stay tuned for that one.
We will. We can actually look for a ransom. Maybe we can find a ransom wine, too. Now, see, when you get bored and you two decide to expand, I'll be happy to come work for marketing for you.
There you go.
Now, is everything you do exclusively going to be at Acme? So if any of our listeners wanted at some point to try and get on a waiting list to try and find the wine created by the dynasty of Phelps and Trinquero, how would they do this?
Well, I mean, years to come, we're gonna branch out outside of Napa Valley, obviously. But yeah, this first year was all at Acme. And if you're looking for the wine, you're always going to be able to find it at Acme. So make that your go-to spot, because they're pretty much guaranteed to have our wine in stock at all times, and they'll keep getting our new vintages. So
that's what we like to hear. Now, everybody has disaster stories. I don't care whether it was we knocked a barrel over, we forgot where we were going, oh, we wanted to call this wine that. Give us one little vignette, one little story of something entertaining that happened when you and Carlo were trying to get this on its merry way.
Well, I've got a good one. Something that actually happened last week. We were moving. We had our wine stored at a couple facilities this year. We finally just got a warehouse in St. Helena, but up until then, we had it at two different wineries. So we had a portable tank full of 2008 Cabernet, about 600 gallons of Cabernet.
Oh, boy.
And it was stored at a little winery in St. Helena, and we had to move it to another little winery in St. Helena. And it was on the back of a flatbed truck. So we pumped the wine into this portable tank, and it was sitting on the truck, and all of a sudden the truck bed was touching the wheels. Like, the truck couldn't hold this much weight.
Uh-oh.
And so we had to drive it across town, and it was, like, burning rubber and smoking. And it was about 105 degrees out in St. Helena. I was freaking out. I thought we were just going to lose the wine, because the tire almost went flat, and then we would have had to, I don't know what we would have done. I mean, we had to figure out how to transport it on Main Street. And it was Labor Day in Napa Valley, which, if you've been there at Labor Day, you know that the roads are extremely crowded.
Oh, I'm sure all those tourists just loved you and that flatbed truck that wine.
Yeah, it was a nightmare, but I could just feel the stainless steel getting hot. And I mean, this all happened within 25 minutes, so it's not like the wine got anything happened to the wine. But
oh, no, but those are the kind of stories you look for, and you can look back on and say, oh, my God, remember when we almost lost all 100 cases right in downtown St. Helena Labor Day?
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
Now, see, those are the kind of stories that your fathers will all tell you build character.
Yeah.
Do you get that often from your dad's, not butting in, but saying, hey, that'll build character, or do this, or do that?
Absolutely.
Now, is your father friends with Carlos's father?
I mean, they grew up, my dad didn't grow up in Napa Valley, but, you know, they've been in the same industry for years, so they definitely know each other.
Do they sit back and shake their heads and laugh at y'all yet?
Not yet. I mean, we haven't really done anything to screw up too big time. But, I mean, they're both very supportive. I mean, my dad, you know, obviously consults a little bit for us, you know, not too much. But we have hired another winemaker. But my dad helps us a little bit. And then Carlo's dad obviously helps us, you know, a huge amount just with facilities and equipment and stuff that, you know.
Trinchero definitely has plenty of that. Well, yeah. Josh, it has been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm looking forward to being able to say I knew them when, I talked to them when. I can't wait to see what exciting things come out of Taken and the rest of the wines you're going to do. So thank you for being part of the Crush, and we're going to have our eye on you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a small break right here, and when we return, we are going to take some of your calls, your emails, just to make the day more interesting.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, gold garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head. I was still in the baggage line.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. We have been speaking with Josh Phelps with his new wine, Taken, and he is doing that in conjunction with his partner, Carlo Trinchero. Now, I'm sorry we didn't quite get Carlo on the show, but we will track him down and get him at a later date. But tell me, I know all of you, those of you who are seriously into wine, as you sat there and you listened to Josh tell the story about Taken, was I the only one that was a little bit jealous? thinking about all the cool stuff they've seen, all the cool stuff they've done, and to be able to put that together at an early age, I think what we're going to find is those boys are going to be able to come up with some amazing wines before it's all said and done.
You kept trying to get a job there.
Of course I kept trying to get a job there. If I have the abuse I take here, why should I not?
That's true. West Coast abuse is much friendlier than East Coast.
Well, West Coast people are just so much more laid back than... Are you kidding? Working with two young, strapping young men instead of you?
It would be a different experience for you, yeah.
It would be. My guess is I'd scare the hell out of them. That would be the end
of
that.
That'd be it. It wouldn't last long.
Yeah, older East Coast female that's been in the business for over 20, we won't go, how many years? Yeah, they'd run screaming before that was said and done.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, this show is all about you, and we do encourage you to call in 800-2-
You want to try that again?
Oh, but why? Okay, you have to understand that occasionally Kent's in my ear, and he'll say, there's a call. He gets so excited when there's actually a call. So let me reiterate the phone number, 877-4-CRUSH-1, for those of you who'd like to call in. Other people can send emails at lauralawson@winecrush.com or go to winecrush.com and submit something. But Kent is just so excited because we have a phone call. Yeah. By all means, we are going to go to the wine line. Right now, we have Troy on the wine line. Troy, welcome to the Crush.
You know, I always see all of these wine publications with, you know, ratings and stuff. How can you be sure that the rating hasn't been paid for by endorsements in the ads that you see? Because they always seem... sometimes they coincide with one another. Is this just a chance that we're taking, or is there certain critics that are more reputable? Because there's so many to choose from.
This goes back to the show we had, I don't know, two or three weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, maybe?
Two weeks ago. And I love the fact that you're following up, and I do appreciate that. But you actually hit on a point that I did not talk about on that last show. As far as the ratings, like we said, bias, no bias, opinion, no opinion, there are no guarantees. It goes back to pick a reviewer you like and stick with them. But it is interesting to find wines that will get great ratings or really bad ratings across the board. And sometimes that's a great source for the internet to be able to help you out. If you find a Chardonnay that got 95 points from the Spectator, 94 from the Advocate, 2+ from Connoisseurs, and got great ratings from every different magazine, you can pretty much feel safe that that winery did not go and pay off everybody involved. Chances are the wine's just really, really good. On the flip side of it, if you find that a magazine gave a wine an 81 and another one came around and gave it a 94, there might be some discrepancy there, but you never really know what way that went. So even though I can't give you concrete answers, other than, of course, go to the Wine Crush website, go back about 2 weeks ago and look for the show on, I don't remember the title of it. I think it was along the lines of basically can an employee critic be objective. But look at that. That'll give you all the answers. But thank you for bringing up a relevant point. When you're trying to research ratings and you're really serious about a wine, look at all the websites and look at all the press. If it's all consistent and all in a line, chances are you'll have your answer. All right. Well, I hope that helps. Well, right now we have an email. Unless, of course, Kent, you want to jump in there. You're getting all excited about something.
It's your show. You do what you want to do.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said it's your show.
Okay.
You
I did. Okay, zit, zit, zit. You can stop right there. Okay, we have an email from Helena in Austin. Helena writes, I recently read that several small family wineries were bought out by large conglomerates. Are these wineries still considered family wineries? That is a very, very good question. I'm sure there's many parts of this. It's a shame that we didn't have the boys on from from Taken on to help us answer this. But ultimately, I think three things have to come into play. Number one, is the name intact? Is it still going to be Lawson Winery after ABC Corporation buys me? If it's still Lawson Winery and they don't absorb me into something else, then yes, there's a good chance. Number two, and probably the most important part of this, is the family still associated with the winery? You know, even if the Benzingers got bought out, if all the Benzingers were still part of Benzinger, then I would definitely say it's a family winery. I think the third test, of course, is going to be to keep your eye on the quality of the wine, the winemaker, the packaging, and what's in the bottle. So if the name's there, the family's there, and what's in the bottle is still consistent, then yes, I would still say it's a family winery. It's just being held by a conglomerate. You see a lot of that in the wine business today. I think if you went down the shelves and turned all the bottles around, you would be surprised at how many great wineries are owned by a large holding company. Foster's comes to mind. Foster's owns Beringer, Souverain, Meridian, St. Clement, Stag's Leap, missing some, Taz. They own a whole bunch of great wineries, but it's not something that they make public. It's all part of a luxury collection. The whole idea of Foster's is to facilitate getting those wines to market and getting it to you, but it doesn't mean that the integrity of those wines changed from the days when they were independent. The wines are still outstanding. The wines are still good. So are they still family wineries? I guess a lawyer would argue with me and say, no, they're not. But I think when you look at it long term, if they still have the integrity and they set out with the same mission to make great juice and keep their name on it, then yeah, I would say definitely they're still a family winery. So Helena, I hope that helps. As we go on, I've got another email that kind of plays into what we're doing. This is from Carol in Kentucky. And Carol writes, how come so many wineries are named the same? Or how come so many wines are named close to each other? It seems awful confusing to the consumer. Don't they want real brand identity? Well, Carol, two things come to mind. Obviously, when we were starting out in the early 60s in the wine business in California, there were certain names and place names that were given to things. The one that comes to mind, I don't know which one you were asking about, the one that still confuses me to this day is Stag's Leap. And Stag's Leap, older winery in the sense that, the, you know, on the Silverado Trail, there's Stag's Leap Cellars and there's Stag's Leap Winery. And literally, there is a cliff off of Silverado Trail that was known as Stag's Leap. Now, whether it was Indian lore, it was just something from hunters, I can't remember. Those brain cells went away probably, I don't know, 800 Chardonnay bottles ago. But ultimately, they called it Leaps because the stags would come and they'd jump off the side of the cliff. And so that was the name of the place, kind of like everyone has a Red Mountain or go up and turn left at Big Hendrix Oak. And so when the winery settled there, they're like, okay, well, we're Stag's Leap. We'll identify ourselves with Stag's Leap. Now, the two I'm talking about, Stag's Leap Cellars and Stag's Leap Winery, when you get to Wine List, and this is where the lack of the brand identity really hurts you. I've had the pleasure of selling both of these wines in my lifetime, and at one point I was selling both at the same time, so I'd finally have to look at customers who wanted to buy the wine, and I'd say, is the stag moving or is the stag standing still? Because people would get them confused back and forth. So that does make a difference in brand identity. It's just paying attention to it. And I think as you move on, as we find this next dynasty and the next people in town, we will definitely see people moving away from that. Well, we're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show and see how dynamic our dynasties have been.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20 year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make Term Life Insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Well, stop dreaming and start shopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
This is Laura Lawson, and you've been listening to The Wine Crush. A special thank you goes out to Josh Phelps for joining us today to talk about his new project, Taken, that he's doing with Carlo Trinchero. And that has been the root and the theme of today's show. When you break it down to its individual parts, it's about family and it's about dynasties. And it's going to be, to me, so fun to watch. I hope that 25 years from now, I am still somehow associated with this insanity they call the wine business, so I can see the third generations come through and the fourth generations come through and see what great paths they can lead us down. We've seen what they could do over the pond. We see what the great families did, whether it was the monks, whether it was individual families, whether it was Remy, whether it was any of those guys. They've done amazing things and have proven to the world that their wines resound. I want to watch our third and fourth generation step up, know exactly what they're growing, exactly where the grapes are supposed to be, and exactly the best way to maximize them, and just see what amazing, amazing bottles we can come out. But obviously, it's not just the dynasty in wine we need to think about. Here's something for you to ponder on until next week's Wine Crush. What kind of wine dynasty are you leaving for your family, for your children, for anybody? Are you teaching them to appreciate wine for the sake of wine, or are you teaching them what you love and to appreciate it because it's worth appreciating, not because they have to? There's your thought and your wisdom for today. All right, here at The Crush, we remind you, as always, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson. And I'll talk with you next week.